Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, and our physician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker. Dr. Meeker, yesterday we began a conversation that I'm confident was helpful to so many women.
Well, it sure was to me, Ryan. As a woman who manages a career and a home and a family, I have to admit that the seemingly never-ending demands of being an employed mom can sometimes push me to my limit. I'll be the first to admit that. So yes, our guest was such an encouragement to me, Doctor, and we have more planned for today.
Now, I've often said that being a mother is the most difficult job in the world. I have spent years encouraging and thanking women who make sacrifices to stay home with their children. However, I also want to acknowledge that there are many mothers, single or married, who are employed outside the home for personal or financial reasons, or maybe for other reasons. It's nobody's business, frankly, and we want to offer respect to those moms as well. So I invited Sabrina O'Malone, and today we want to air the conclusion to our conversation with her.
Sabrina is the president of Working Mom, and her website is visited by hundreds of thousands of people every year. She's the author of a book called Moms on the Job, Seven Secrets for Success at Home and Work. Sabrina and her husband Dan have four children. So let's go ahead and join the second part of our conversation with her on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, Sabrina, we ended the broadcast last time talking about the pressures that are on a mom who works outside the home, especially if she has small children waiting for her at home, and the fatigue that women often feel. One of the things you say in this book is that of all the questions that people ask you when they contact you through your website, there is one that is most common,
yes,
and it is?
Working moms say they're tired. They are tired. They don't get enough sleep. They go to bed tired. They wake up tired. The ones that are married often have even resentment to their husbands because, why am I so tired? Why can't, you know, I get more help? This kind of thing. Resenting even the children for not picking up more. And that is actually, you know, one of the last secrets is to replenish. You won't be so tired if you could replenish. But, you know, you kind of have to do it a little bit in sequence to free up the time so that you do have a day of rest. I don't mean just throwing up your hands, leaving the laundry to pile up, no groceries in the house, children needing baths and everything, and say, well, today is my Sabbath. I don't do anything. That's not what we're advocating at all. But streamlining and organizing life in such a way that it can, for the most part, all be accomplished in 6 days, enabling you to rest.
Is that doable?
Yes, it is. It's more than doable.
For a mom that's put in 40-plus hours per week on a job.
Not only is it doable, it's also a mandate, and she needs it. One of the stories that really helps crystallize why this is an important issue, it's called the lumberjack story. Have you heard it or read it? Oh, because I wrote it. And it's about a mother who needed a job, and so she applied to become a lumberjack. But of course, you know, these were big, burly men's men. She had very little chance of getting this job. She filled out an application anyway because it paid three times the amount of any other job. Until ultimately the lumberyard landed a big account and they needed anybody. They called retirees in, managers off their desks for more trees. And then at a meeting, someone said, hey, why don't we call in the lumber Jill? Well, when they did call her in, she was ecstatic. And they hired her at 2/3 the pay of an ordinary lumberjack, you know, as a trial basis. After all, she wasn't had no experience. And so she gets out there, 6 a.m. to the woodlands, and she's got her axe in hand, and she's ready, and she's employed physics, and she's using different styles of axes. And at the end of the week, lo and behold, who had felled the most trees? Lumber Jill. The next week, same strategy. She was in the top pack, but not number one. And this was kind of making a little resentment. Well, weeks go by until she became the worst lumberjack in the history of all lumberjacks. Why? They brought her in to the HR manager's desk, and she sat down, burst into tears. Nobody works as hard as I do. I've never missed a day's work. Just a few weeks ago, I was your number one lumberjack. How can you bring me in here? And the HR manager said, do you see this book? She said, yes. What is it? Well, it's the manual on how to be a lumberjack. And what's rule number 4 of the 10 rules of being a lumberjack? Rule number 4 was take regular breaks and use that time to sharpen your axe. She had been working with a dull axe, and it's nearly impossible to cut a tree down with one. And that is the premise that I make for working 6 days and taking some time off on the 7th. You will accomplish more well-rested, focused, and sharp than you will dog-tired and sluggish for 7.
That's a great story. It has to be at least 50 years old because they don't use axes anymore. But hey, it makes a great illustration.
I'm an old-timer here. I am one of those older, wiser women.
But the point is that the Lord knew what he was doing, obviously,
yes,
when he said, do all your labor on 6 days.
But
and
how?
Rest
that,
on the 7th.
That's the question.
All right.
How?
What you've said you have done is to organize your children on Saturday to take care of some of their own chores so that not only you rest on Sunday, but they do too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my manservant, my maidservant, all of them have to rest on Sunday.
You got man and maidservants.
No, I do not have any.
You have any lumberjills?
No lumberjills.
All right. So they pick up all their clothes on Saturday,
yes,
and they get their toys put away and whatever else they're going to do.
Yeah, there's a chore chart, and it's an age-appropriate chore chart. It's in the back of Moms on the Job that shows, yeah, what children generally are capable of doing at each age. For example, 3 to 4-year-olds can pick up toys, and 5 to 6-year-olds may be able to use a handheld vacuum, and 15-plus can even make dinner. And, you know, it staggers the chores that children are able to do based upon their ages.
How do you feed that crew on Sunday without you working real hard?
Easily, very easily. You can either, crock pots are wonderful. And that's, you know what? I'm glad you brought up the feeding issue because that's another really popular question. People who get home from work almost at 6 o'clock want to know, how can I get dinner? This is working moms. How can I get dinner on the table before 7 and my kids have to be in bed by 8 and there's homework? All right, the first thing I would say is make frozen vegetables something you keep in your freezer. Broccoli, carrots, organic chicken nuggets, and fish sticks. This may sound very basic, but having these kind of staples on hand will enable you to get a nutritious, well-balanced meal on the table in a pinch if you need to. Now, I'm not suggesting every Sunday or even every dinner needs to be like this, but it is something that you need to keep in mind. Even my children who are very picky, they'll eat roast beef in the crock pot if it's drenched in gravy, which is very easy to make. You just put the meat in there and some flour and leave it on. Hmm. And they don't want any vegetables. They don't want anything. They just want that. And they call it juicy meat. And, you know, you open a Idaho potatoes, the powder, and you can make that in about 5 minutes with hot water, milk, and butter, a little salt. And so you've got mashed potatoes and gravy for Sunday that basically cooked the during the night while you were sleeping. That's multitasking secret 4.
You have filled this book with practical ideas like we were talking about. One of them is a grocery list. Now, I think you mentioned that last time, but explain that. It's one of the main reasons people contact you is to get your grocery list.
Yeah,
explain that.
This is still a mystery to me, and I would like somebody to tell me what's so great about this grocery list. It is the number one most popular page on workingmom.com, even more popular than the homepage. People go on to workingmom.com and print out the grocery list, and you can take it and you can fax the grocery list either to the store or to your husband or whoever you're faxing it to, or you can just take it with you yourself and you just check off the items that you need. It started as a grocery list that I had. This is like, you know, some of the things that are on there, you can totally see what the, you know, what we eat. What do the Omelones eat? Well, look, you can see the grocery list. Oh, I see here Sabrina drinks Diet Right.
So it's not just a list of all the different foods. It is what you, in fact, take with you to the grocery store.
Yes, that's what it started out as. And I had a good friend of mine make it look professional so it wasn't quite so homemade, you know, like the one that I originally had. And we posted that on the website expecting, you know, I don't know, my friends to use it or something. And here we are, you know, 250,000 people later. And it's a very popular page on the list.
You know, that 250,000 figure really makes a statement about where people are. They're desperate for answers. They're desperate for help. They're exhausted. They're running too fast. They've got all of these responsibilities. They've jammed so much in
yes.
the bag of life that they don't have time to breathe. And if somebody comes along and says, maybe this would help,
yes.
they're there. And that's why they're coming to you.
You know, I asked a good friend of mine, Douglas Gresham, I don't know if you know him, C.S. Lewis's stepson, why he thought Working Mom was so popular. And typical Douglas answer, in a famine area, you don't need to lay out a spectacular banquet. Food will do. And apparently so. I'm taken aback by that because they are so hungry and so thirsty, you know, generally speaking, that even my grocery list is a blessing to them.
You're having fun with it too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love what we're doing now. I am amazed.
How often do you change it?
I haven't changed it yet, but I really should update it because it may be getting dated. I like it. It worked for me, but you know, now that we're so many more people.
But as you have new ideas, you add them to
it. Oh, yeah, not on the grocery list. I'm sorry, on the website. Yeah, we change something at least every week. We feature printable coupons where you can print coupons off of your computer instead of clipping them out of the Sunday paper and getting the Sunday paper and recycling it and everything else.
You can explain that to me because I don't fully get that. We talked about it before, but
okay.
Tell me what that's all about.
You know how you've seen the Sunday paper?
A time or two.
Okay, yes. Inside the Sunday paper, there's usually a whole lot of coupons. And there's a couple of companies, real big ones, that provide most of those coupons. So what they wanted to do was they wanted an internet presence, and they wanted to see what would happen if instead of just regular paper coupons, they had, you know, printable coupons people could use from their computer. On the company side, it saves them ink, it saves them paper, and it saves them shipping. On the consumer side, it saves them effort because they can print out whatever they want. They don't have to take the whole thing. And so we were able to work with them because we had such a unique demographic of working moms, and it took off. So people print out grocery coupons, and we feature each week. We have a little, it's almost like the cliff notes of what the coupons will be. So you can look at, you know, new this week's coupons and see, oh, my olive oil's on sale. Oh, you know, diapers, whatever it may be that would be in the Sunday paper, you can just get off the web.
So what you have on your website is olive oil. And they click on that, and a coupon comes up.
Yeah, and a coupon that you literally print out and take with you to the store. Some people print them all, but you know, I personally, I printed them all the first time, and then it just kept taking so long to print. I don't have that good of a printer. I was like, from now on, I'll print the ones that I know for a fact I'm going to use.
And so a lot of people are getting these coupons instead of going to the newspaper to get them. They get them from you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
In order to get access to some websites, you have to have a membership. You have to pay some money to do it. But you don't charge people anything.
No. And we don't send cookies, and you don't have to join a mailing list, and we don't want your email, you know, address. And we don't – any person off the street who has a computer can print coupons without any hindrance. And this is what makes us very different from a lot of sites. Remember, we really are evangelical in nature, and we don't want to hinder people from anything in any way, anything that would save them time, energy, or money, emphasis on save them. So as an internet missionary, where you would think a traditional missionary would bring clean water techniques or farming practices or medicine to a famine area or wherever they were going. As an internet missionary, we bring organizational tools, coupons. We just kind of stumbled into the coupon thing. We also have inspirational stories that really help encourage working mothers as well.
Yeah.
And so that the idea of making a barrier or a financial limitation is really unconscious. No, you can't.
All right. So you support this effort largely from your relationship with the coupon providers.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
That's very creative. You know that, Sabrina? I'm impressed with you.
Well, thank you. I would love to tell you it was something that we planned. And frankly, we were planning to do it for nothing. You know, yeah. Working mom never was and never will be set up to make money for us or anybody else. That's not the goal. The goal is to introduce people to the Lord. That would be our secret agenda that's in our mission statement.
All right. Let's talk about the spiritual dimension, because you talk about that in your book, and this is something that's central to who you are. Reserving time for your devotions, for your time with the Lord, even on the busiest of days or weeks, and the importance of doing that. Elaborate on that.
Well, prayer is going to be the cornerstone of everything that anyone who's going to ultimately be successful in Christ, they're going to need to pray. You need to not only read your Bible and hear what the Lord has to say, but the first secret to success is to have prayer partners. So not only are you praying, but you have godly mentors that are praying with you and for you. And it also lends some accountability to you. For example, and people are like, oh, I would love a mentor. And this is one of the things working moms say. The women in my church, a lot of them, they love me, they love my children, but they say they never worked outside the home when they had kids, so they can't give me much advice. Well, I would say those women certainly can still pray for you, and they do. But also keep in mind that with those kind of responsibilities as a working mom, you're going to need the prayer. You really are. You know, and that's something, people are like, why can't you just give us the practical tips? And that's the secular. They've stumbled on it either for coupons or for time saving lists, or I don't know how they ended up there. But yeah, they're not believers. So we have a huge mission field, and that's something that we take very seriously. And that's what it's all about.
You must get a lot of appreciation. You know, I think of the old Lone Ranger stories on radio and television and in the movies. And there was a phrase that when he finally leaves, he's done all this great work, that everybody says, who was that masked man? You remember? You don't remember that. That's too long ago.
No, I do.
Do people say to you, who is that woman that's been helping me? They want to know who you are? And do they write you expressions of love and appreciation?
Yes, I do. The people who are thankful far outnumber the people who criticize, and I'm grateful for that. But to tell you the truth, I can almost quote verbatim my critical letters more than the thankful ones.
They don't like you talking about the Lord.
They don't like me talking. No.
There's an offense of the cross wherever it is found.
And you know, you wrote the strong-willed. I know we're not on that today, but you wrote the strong-willed child, right?
Have you got one?
Yes, I do. I am one of those strong-willed people. Immediate negative consequences do not easily deter me and never have. Now, for someone like me, and looking back on what the Lord has decided to do, was I going to get criticism from the non-believers? Of course. Even some well-intentioned, good Christian people misunderstand the mission. No, we are not encouraging mothers to work. That is not what we do. What we do is we provide encouragement for mothers. So when people send me letters saying, you would be more godly if you were at home, or you would be more effective if you left out God, it rolls right off my back like water on a duck.
Well, if you're going to do anything significant, especially if you're going to do anything significant in the Lord's kingdom, then you're going to get criticized, and you have to just decide how you're going to deal with that. We get some letters that come in. Fortunately, the vast majority of the mail and phone calls we get are more positive than we deserve. But there are some that just make you say, "Where in the world are you coming from?"
Yes.
You know, and if you take it personally, you get wounded.
Yes,
and I think I've learned not to take personally those kind of criticisms that come, but they do come.
Yeah. Well, this is what my mom would tell you, Dr. Dobson. She would say, look what they did to Jesus. What makes you think working for him, they're not going to do at least as much to you? That's what my mother would tell you. And one of the things that we do is we've decided in advance that we are not going to deliberately try to please everyone. We're going to try to please the Lord. And so with that stated, no matter where the attacks come from, well-meaning or vicious or whatever they may be, we've got to please the Lord. It's him. Our knees are going to bow before him. And he's called us to make room at the foot of the cross for these lost, sad, tired, overworked people. And so if I have to deal with some criticism And I have to have people who are wondering, how can you be doing a broadcast and your son is only 8 weeks old sitting over there? This is what the Lord has called me to do at this moment.
And you're going to go do it.
That's right. He didn't call everyone to it, but he called me, and that's all I can do.
Sabrina, as an African-American woman, you have to be extremely disturbed by what's happened to the black family in the Western world, and especially here in the United States. That must break your heart.
Yes, it really does, in a lot of ways. The last time I checked the statistics, I'm not really sure what year it was, there were more men ages 18 to 24 in prison than there were African-American men in prison than there were in college. And at the time, as a young African-American woman, who was I going to marry then? You know, and that was a question, you know, just seeing how the situation had just deteriorated to what it is. That was something that really, it does break my heart. And looking at my own, I have two boys, and I look at my sons, they're biracial, and I wonder, what kind of world is this going to be for them? You know, just this week, for the first time, I had that conversation with my oldest, my son, about color. And he hadn't, you know, my husband is Irish, Scots, Croatian, big guy. And so he, my little boy, he had no idea that to the rest of the world, for the most part, he's black. He's like, black? My skin is gold, Mom.
And I said, that.
Yes, I said, you're right, sweetheart. And only a very silly person wouldn't know how valuable gold is. But you need to understand that there are some people in this world that may treat you a little bit differently because they just don't know better. And my husband jumped in and said, and those are the people we need to pray for the most.
Oh, the most.
Yes.
Sabrina, I'm so glad you came to be with us and that you've written this book, Moms on the Job, Seven Secrets for Success at Home and Work. I hope that when you get back to your home and you turn on your computer, it's going to smoke and burn up because of the number of people that try to reach you on your website. Give the address again.
www.workingmom.com. It's that simple. And I do pray that people will be blessed not only by the site, but also by the book, which I will add is a collaboration of dozens of successful working moms. So it's not Sabrina O. Malone speaking from Sinai. Otherwise, it would be a pamphlet. So there really is a lot of practical information that came from godly women who know better than I do.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and we'd like to see how the Lord continues to use you. And you're so creative. You've got many years ahead, I would think, to find new ways to reach out to people who are in need. And I thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dobson, for doing what you've done for the family. And I thank you wholeheartedly on behalf of all of the moms in the paid workforce that have been longing for you to address us. Our hearts have been broken by the world and occasionally broken by the body of Christ. And to have you guys dedicate a broadcast or two to us, you just don't know how healing that really is. Thank you, thank you, thank
well,
you.
Well, for that community that's out there and resonated with what you just said, I would like each of them to feel hugged by today. Okay. Thank you, Sabrina. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks.
Well, I'm sure our listeners have appreciated Sabrina's message as well. This has been such an encouraging conversation. If you're an employed mom or you know one and you missed any part of it, I'd highly recommend downloading the app or subscribing to our daily program on iTunes so that you can listen to this two-day series titled Help for Employed Moms. You can also find a copy of Sabrina's book, Moms on the Job. To request either of these resources, just go to our website, drjamesdobson.org, or give us a call at 877-732-6825. If you do visit our website and click on today's broadcast, you'll also find a link to Sabrina's website, which is filled with coupons and articles which are helpful to all moms. Thank you for being with us. Join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We'll be right back.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Ryan Dobson for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and I want to take a moment to let you know about a really exciting opportunity for you to be a part of what God is doing through Family Talk. We have recently received a $400,000 matching grant that doubles every gift you give to equip and empower parents and families. Every dollar you donate this month to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk immediately becomes $2 towards preserving and promoting the institution of the family. And it's an excellent opportunity to join us in our work. And we can't do it without the faithful support of our listeners. So if you'd like to help us reach the goal of $400,000 and maximize the potential of this grant, please call us right now at 877-732-6825. You can also donate on our website, drjamesdobson.org, on our Facebook page, or through our Family Talk smartphone app.